Okay, so that'll be a way to really...
And they do a little bit of interlude, and I sing again all by myself.
Okay.
So you'll get there.
Good. Tape again. All right, today is May 16th in the year 2002. This is a second interview with Anna Vinagre, fado singer, at her home in New Bedford. My name is Laura Orleans, and I am the interviewer, and this is for the Massachusetts Cultural Council's Folk and Traditional Arts Program. Okay, Anna, we kind of left off. We had talked a lot about the tradition of fado and the sort of history of the tradition and a little bit about your background, but I wanted to just talk a little bit more about your earliest experiences singing and then really focus in on the ensemble that you've put together here in this country. So let's start out, if you can just remember back to your very earliest memory of hearing fado music. I don't know if you can remember the first time you became aware of that tradition.
Not necessarily when, per se, but remember, when I was growing up, I didn't have no television. The only thing that we had was the radio. And, of course, I used to listen to the radio, and they had, I don't know if I told you this before, but we lived under a dictatorship for many, many years. So we had programs that were approved by the government. They used to play fado. They had, I can't say the night that they did it, but they did it a night of the week they had fado. And I used to listen to it. And the man, I didn't like. But it was something in the woman's voice that attracted me to it. A sorrow, I don't know. And I used to sing it. Cleaning the house, I used to sing it. And mostly cleaning the house that I used to hate. And I started dancing folklore. In the folk group, we had, because we used to travel all over Europe, we had not just the folklore from our part of the country, but folklore from all over, mm-hmm. Portugal. So they had a woman singing fado. Not a woman, a girl singing fado. And one day, she was like a prima donna, one day she decided that she didn't feel like doing it. So the director came up to me and she said, "You're going to do it." I said, "I'm going to do it? You're going to do it." So I come up with a song that I knew all the lyrics and that to this day, I still sing it. Because it's beautiful. And it's a traditional music. The title of it is Saudade, Silencio e Sombra. Saudade, Silence, and Shadow. And at that time I was young, and it was kind of heavy lyrics to sing, but the music is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, my husband says that I kind of hook him with that song, so I don't know. And that's how I started.
Now, besides seeing this other young woman or girl in the folklore troupe, did you have opportunities to see other fado singers? I mean, I'm imagining that you didn't go to the clubs as a young child. Was there fado sung in more...
Oh, no.
In homes or at parties or anything like that?
No.
And not having television, as you said.
Well, you know, but after television was available in Portugal, I didn't have it in my house, but I had it in a relative's house. So we used to go to their house to watch television. And, of course, you would go to watch the programs that you liked. And I wouldn't miss one. Mm. It was black and white still. But I wouldn't miss one. And it's funny, looking back, now they show, sometimes on television, they show all those programs. And I said, I saw that. So it's interesting. But it's something about the music, the way the music is, the fado singer sings. You mentioned that I'm a very passionate person, and I am. I am. I don't have I don't have a maybe. I have a yes and a no. And if I like something, I stick to it. That's why I don't like what they're doing to Fado. They're making it modern. They're introducing a new way of singing Fado. Okay, if that's the way they want to do it, fine. But I'll keep it the old-fashioned way.
What kinds of things are they doing to
Well, they're introducing new instruments. They're introducing a flute, an accordion, a saxophone, a bass. Let's see, what else? The piano. It's fine. But why should we change something that is so beautiful? And for as long as I can, I'm going to stay the way I am because I'm very comfortable. Mm-hmm. I update the lyrics. As time goes by, we change the lyrics, bring in more update, but keep the same style. Even though, I don't know if I told you this, Fado is never sang the same way twice, depending on the mood that you're in that day. I think I'm going to keep it, singing it the same way. And like I said before, I can't say to you that it was, oh, this particular time I started. I always liked it.
Can you remember the first sort of experience you had of seeing a live Fado singer performing?
I only saw it over here in the States.
Really? It was only when you came here that was the first time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is that somebody that you...
Amalia.
Oh.
At the Zeiterium.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was my first... No, it wasn't at the Zeiterium at that time. It was at New Bedford High School.
Tell me a little bit about your memory of that.
I was very disappointed because she was dressed in very colorful colors, like the rainbow, and it was a shock. And after she apologized because it got all wrinkled, and that one... with so many colors, the wrinkles weren't that noticeable. Yeah, but it was a shock to me. And after I saw different stars that, because they used to come to the New Bedford, it was a gentleman, Mr. Pena, used to bring them from Portugal.
Mm. And they would perform at the Zeiterium?
New Bedford High.
Huh.
Yeah, New Bedford High.
Huh.
Yeah.
For students during the
For the Portuguese community.
Uh-huh.
Big shows.
Yeah.
A lot of good Fado singers. It wasn't just Fado singers. They would come bring just one that was popular at the time. The rest was different, you know, regular music. But after, years after I saw Amalia at the Zeiterium, and I was sitting with a friend, and I said to my friend, someday I'm going to be up there. And I think 2 years ago, I sang at the Zeiterium. So it was... a thrill for me. And but the first Fado singer that I saw live was Amalia at New Bedford High School, imagine. Yeah. She's, to me, she's the goddess of Fado. And now that we lost her, I think we appreciate her. We appreciate more what she did. Because she did a lot for Fado. She changed. See, the changings that it's going now, she changed Fado. She gave it a different flavor. But she never introduced different instruments. It was always the Portuguese guitar and the viola, the big viola for bass. Mm-hmm. She never changed. The instruments were the same. She brought a lot of the twist that we do with our voice. A lot of people, when she started singing, a lot of people complained that Fado was in flamenco. Mm. Because, you know, the Spanish singers, they have that, they twist that on their throats, that sound. And she introduced a little bit of that, and people didn't like it. Now it's so normal. If people don't do it, it's, what's the matter with her? let's see. But I think on that, when she started, she was criticized a lot. Mm. Mm-hmm. Because she brought Fado into all parts of the world. Japan used to love her. Mm. And it's something in the music.
And that was really in the 50s, 60s?
50s, yeah, 60s, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't understand the lyrics. But it's something in the music. I don't know. You get involved too. Mm-hmm. I sang a song at a friend's memorial the other day. We're all Americans. I sang in Portuguese a cappella, and nobody understood a word. And it's funny because people come by the flower shop where I work, and they say, "I didn't understand a word you said, but it was so beautiful." It's the sound of Fado as a sorrow, kind of a sound that people can get involved with.
Mm-hmm. How important is the look of Fado, or the gesture and the costume and all of that?
Well, the show, to me,
in other words, the difference between hearing a recording and seeing a performance.
Oh, performing live? Mm. Totally different.
Yeah.
Because live, it's like mechanical. At that time, you couldn't put your feelings into it.
You mean because live or
recording?
Yeah.
Because you have so many minutes to do it. Mm. And it's got to be everything within the limits. Mm-hmm. In live, you don't have that. Mm. You're there. And you can take whatever time you want. You can stop whatever you want. You can
Sounds
change
like it's
it.
Time for Ana Vinagre live CD. Yeah. CD. Seriously, you can, a live recording would be.
You can change it. You can. Sometimes your voice is not the best, and instead of going up, you go down, and you think, "Wow, it's really, really nice. How come I've been doing it going high? I like it kind of low." Mm. It gives more depth into it, more feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think singing for American people, they can relate to the music. Like a lot of people said, they don't understand the words, but the feeling, the gestures that you put in, the look in your face, the way I twist my shawl, sometimes, you know, the fringes of my shawl, I get so into the song that sometimes I don't even know I kick my shoes off. My shoes come off, and when I feel cold, that's, oh, they came, they're out already.
Are there other, you spoke about your older sister sings, but not really professionally or not perform. Are there any musicians that are in your family, instrumental players?
Not that I know of.
No.
No. I have an aunt who's, she would be a wonderful singing opera. And when I was growing up and she was singing opera, I said, uh-oh, something is wrong with her. And good enough, she was upset with herself. She had that operatic voice.
Uh-huh.
My Aunt Connie that I love. And my mother, she used to sing, I don't know how to say it in English, falsetto.
Oh, falsetto?
Yeah. Hmm. My mother, yeah.
Say more about that. Just my around the house? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had a way of singing, too, that I said, oh, my mother is singing yellow. What did I do? But
so these women would sing when they were angry?
Not really, but my mother, I always heard my mother sing. Mm. You know, just humming and singing, cleaning the house or cooking, you know, doing regular stuff around the house. But sometimes it was a different way of singing, and I knew I was in trouble. And with my aunt was, when she was singing that way, I said, oh, we're going to have bad weather. Pretty good. Next day was raining. You know those things like, you know. But my older sister, my sister Madalena, she's not just my sister, she's my best friend. Mm. And because she's old enough to be my mother. She has a daughter 16 months younger than I. Mm-hmm. So I relate more to my niece than to her being a sister. Every Thursday I got to speak to her. Just spoke to her this morning. Mm-hmm. And just... Little things. But we have to speak with each other every Thursday. She has a great voice. She was very shy. She never...
Have you ever sung together?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we go in the car and we do. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell her, shut up. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. And she'll say to me, oh, you shut up. You think you know everything. Mm-hmm. But we're very, very good friends. And she has a good... I had another sister. I have another sister, the middle one, mm-hmm. that she used to sing. But she stopped singing and she lost her voice. She mm-hmm. doesn't sing.
Used to sing around the house or professionally?
No. In the folk group.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I think she wasn't that great anyway. Sisters.
Do you have a favorite fado piece that you sing today?
No.
Just depends on the mood and the occasion.
I have quite a few that I love. Mm. But to say that I have one that I like the most, no. Mm. No.
Tell me about where you perform in this area.
In this area?
Yeah.
I sing, of course, when there's a Portuguese get-together. If I'm invited, I sing a lot at Sagres Restaurant in Fall River. I don't want to lose, because it's the only place that people can go to listen to Father. So if... I'll be there until they kick me out.
Mm. Is there a particular night of the week that they have?
Fridays and Saturdays.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And are you a regular?
I perform there regularly.
Every Friday?
No. I don't want to become boring, but I'm there 3-4 times a month.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty significant.
If not on a Friday, on a Saturday. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And is that with your regular accompanist, or do they have a band?
No. They're private. Uh-huh. Well, they're not private. They play there every Friday and every Saturday, Manuel and Alvaro. But if I need them to go to other places, they'll go with me. And I have two other players that I told you before. Mm-hmm. They're from Rhode Island. And just because Manuel and Alvaro, they're at Sagres on weekends, so I take the other two. Mm-hmm. Out more often mm-hmm. if I have a job to do someplace else. But we go all over. We went on a cruise to Bermuda singing Fado last year. We go to California. We go to Newark, New Jersey. We go to Connecticut. We go all over.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you go out of town or out of the state, what kinds of... are you invited to festivals or is it other Portuguese sorts of
festivals, Portuguese affairs, I told you about the wedding. Uh-huh. We were invited to go to sing at the wedding because she wanted to keep, she wanted to show her culture because she was Portuguese descent and he's Jewish. We sing everywhere. Mm-hmm. They ask us to sing, and I sang at a funeral once. It was wonderful. The gentleman, he was Portuguese. He was born in Portugal, and he came in his early 20s, and he left a written that he went Fado at his funeral. So we sang at the funeral home, and we sang at the cemetery. Yeah, I hope he's happy.
It sounds actually like a very fitting thing for it.
Yeah, and he was a fisherman in Gloucester. This was in Gloucester. Uh-huh. And... He went down with my voice singing Seagull. And it was so beautiful. It was in the winter, but it was a beautiful sunny day. And you could hear the birds. It was a beautiful experience, even though the poor man was dead. You know, how can you say it was a beautiful, but it was. It was beautiful. The birds were singing and the guitars were playing and I was singing. Seagull. It was a beautiful experience.
Seagull, is Seagull a fado?
Yes, it's yeah. It's the title of uh-huh. a fado, uh-huh. of a poem.
Now,
Gaivota.
Is there any sort of tradition of singing at funerals? Is that something that anybody would do?
No, the Cape Verdeans do.
Ah, uh-huh.
They play the violin, and they sing mm-hmm. at the gravesite. Not us, mm-hmm. no. But he asked for it. Mm-hmm. So we got it. Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't care. Doesn't bother me.
Let's go back to Sagres.
Sagres.
Tell me a little bit about who the audience is that comes. Is it mostly
mostly American. Oh. Mostly American. And it was so funny the other day because I have very good hearing. It was a table with quite a few people, about, I would say, 7 to 8 people on the table. And I could see that one was telling the others about Fado. Mm-hmm. And I heard her say that Fado was sad. Mm-hmm. And I finished my song. And after I said, Fado is anything, if anything, melancholic, not sad. She said, she heard me. Yeah. So, see, a lot of people, they go to Portugal and they go to Fado houses. Mm-hmm. And now there's more artists coming, mostly playing for the American community.
Hmm. Now, why is that? Is the Portuguese community not?
Oh yes,
not
they are.
Or?
They are. But I'm talking about the American people, just because they go to concerts and they listen to Fado, mm-hmm. or when they go to Portugal, or there was a movie with an American movie, they had Fado in it. So they're more involved because it's a very interesting music. Mm-hmm. That's so different that people pay attention. Mm-hmm. And so they listen. But at Sagres, they go there to eat mm-hmm. first and after to listen to the music. Because towards the end of the night, they'll mellow down and they just sit back and relax and then listen to Fado.
What time is the end of the night? How late does the
11,
music last?
12, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's funny because Fado in Portugal, it starts around 11:30.
And how late would it go typically?
It goes. Mm-hmm. When I go to Portugal on vacation, it's never a vacation because I go with friends of mine. They're singing, mm-hmm. they're singers and players. And I come home 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Oh, we can go. I had one night that I came home at 7:30. And we were singing and playing all night. Mm-hmm. So Fado is very, as a very bohemian type of music. Mm-hmm. That is sang towards, well, after midnight. It feels better.
Can you talk a little bit about the significance or the place of Fado in the Portuguese community here?
Well, we have a way of putting it that Fado is our national anthem. Can be any better than that. Mm-hmm. And to a lot of people, it is. Fado is very precious, it's a precious thing, mm-hmm. Fado.
Is it particularly important to people of a certain age group?
No.
No.
No. And, you know, and sometimes I get surprised, going back to the Americans, they come to the restaurant and they ask me for a particular song. And I looked at them and said, how did you know that song? Well, I went to Portugal, I bought a CD, I love it, I listened to it, but I love this particular song. Mm. The other day, I'm very stubborn, and I'm very temperamental, and that's the artist in me, and a lady was at the restaurant, and she said, oh, can you sing Lágrima? That's Dulce Pont's song. I said, ma'am, it's not. it's Amalia's song. Oh, no, I have it in a CD, and it's Dulce Pont's song. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. Amalia wrote the lyrics. Carlos Gonçalves wrote the music. Amalia sang it. That's Amalia's song. Oh, no, but I have it in a CD, sang by Dulce. And I had to say, okay, ma'am, I'll do it for you. Yeah. So I know there's a lot of people, they go to Portugal and they buy the music mm-hmm. because it says some... Fado, he'll say something to you. Didn't you like listen to to the guitars? Mm-hmm. I can be in the awful, mean mood, crabby, and I'll put that and I'll... It calms me down. Mm-hmm. But it can make me cry too.
Sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah.
How long do you think this sort of love affair for the American people has been with Fado? I don't know if you would call it that.
It's just beginning.
But just beginning. So maybe they're 20 years?
They're discovering. No, it's going to be, they're discovering Fado.
But how long have they been going to Sagres?
Well, Sagres has been there for many, many years.
Yeah.
So, but lately I find that people are more interested in the music.
Mm-hmm. What about Portuguese Americans or Portuguese people? Do they go to hear the music? Do they also go to Sagres?
They go there, mm-hmm. and there's sometimes Portuguese clubs that put on a Fado night. And they go, they pay their ticket for the meal mm-hmm. and for the show.
And can you tell me a little bit, where are those clubs? And
well, there's quite a bit in New Bedford and mm-hmm. all over.
Is there a particular group that organizes the night,
it's,
Fado night?
So you know, the fishermen clubs, sometimes they do it. The radio station at a Fado night put together this
WJFD?
Year. WJFD.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was all Fado.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bunch of us that sang Fado. They had two sets of players.
Mm-hmm.
So once in a while, mm-hmm. clubs, Portuguese clubs, they put in strictly Fado night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you hear.
And do you tend to get, I'm going to push you on this, even though you already said no, but do you tend to get people who are in their 20s, in their 40s, in their 60s? I mean, is there group of people that mostly are looking for Fado or really?
You know, I find that young people now, it's enjoying Fado mm-hmm. more than before
mm-hmm.
because they used to say, oh, it's boring music that I hear. My mother used to put it on. My grandparents used to play it. Oh, it's boring. I had a kid once at UMass Dartmouth say to me, you know, I hated Fado. I gave you a chance, and I heard the lyrics. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And now they like Fado.
Mm-hmm. Is it a nostalgic sort of music for older people who grew up with it?
It used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be. You know, they left Portugal, they went to Portugal, and they bought some records, and they brought it here, and they used to play it, and not anymore. Not anymore.
Because
it's a music for all ages. Because
mm-hmm.
I see the young people now, they come and they ask for specific songs,
mm-hmm.
and I look at him and I say, how do you know about that song? Mm-hmm. Oh, so-and-so sings it, and I love it.
Are there any people in that kind of generation, like, you know, let's say college age, who are wanting to learn or who are starting to sing?
We have a good kid. She's in her 20s
mm-hmm.
in New Bedford that she's beginning. And but to sing Fado, to be a Fado singer, you have to have some hurt in your life
mm.
one way or another. You have to go through some stuff to really get into it. You can have the most beautiful voice and sing Fado, but not be a Fado singer mm-hmm. per se. You have to hurt a little bit.
Maybe to live a little bit too.
You have to live life a little bit and get a few kicks here and there
mm-hmm.
to appreciate Fado.
And she has, to get, she's not there yet.
No, she's not. She's a great kid, great singer. She's not a fado singer yet. And I would love her to be a fado singer.
Now who, can I ask who that
oh,
is?
Oh, yeah. Her name is Katarina Vlar. Mm-hmm. She's really good.
So she sings other...
She sings pop music.
Yeah, pop music. Uh-huh.
But she sings fado, too. We sang together.
Ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Has now, she... have you actually instructed her at all, or...?
We went to California together, and we were rehearsing. And I know her voice. I know what she's capable of doing. And she reads music. So I said, Katarina, I don't want you to do it like that. And I said it right away. I said, I don't want you to do it like that. That's boring. Do it this way because I know you can do it. Mm-hmm. And... She said, I don't know. I said, come on, listen to me. Because we sing the same key. The song that she was doing, I sing it in the same key. Mm-hmm. And I said, come on, follow me. And she did it. And after she said, you know, Mrs. Vinagre, because she calls me Mrs. Vinagre. Mrs. Vinagre, I like it that way much better. I said, I know you can do it. Mm-hmm. And she has a good voice, and she's beautiful. She has She comes from a very good family, very respectful. And they're afraid because mm-hmm. she's an only child, and they don't want anything bad to happen to her. And but I know she'll be a good fado singer. I think not now because she's too young. Mm-hmm. Even though she sings fado when they ask her to, and when we have fado nights and they invite her to sing fado specifically fado, but. I think years from now she'll be a good fado singer. Mm-hmm. Like I said, she's got to go through life a little bit, and she's got to, you know, in a good sense, kick here and there, and suffer a little bit mm-hmm. to know what fado is, because fado is life, fado is faith, and we say sometimes when people. We hear somebody died in a tragic accident. It was their fate. It was their father. Mm-hmm. We don't say fate, but we say it was in there. Was his father?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there things? Could she become a student of yours? Is there a way that you could?
I keep telling her, "Come on down." She says, "Well, I know you're a busy person," and she's quite busy because she's going through school. Mm-hmm. She's going.
Would
through
you
college.
Enjoy teaching her?
Oh, anything? Yeah. Because I know she would, she's got everything. I would love to put my hands on her. I mean, you know, in a better way, in a good way. I would love to.
What kinds of things would you teach her?
First of all, not to copy anybody. Mm-hmm. I had a thing with her because she sang a very famous song. And it was a copy exactly. Of what she heard. Mm-hmm. And right there I said, Katarina, don't do that anymore. You go home and you make that song yours, not anybody else's. Because, you know, you hear a song. Another phone. She has a lot of potential to be a great fado singer.
I ask in part because another program that the Mass Council has is something we call the apprenticeship program, which is exactly for that.
She would be really, really good, and I would love to work with Katarina.
Well,
I would love to work with her.
We should talk to her about it. Maybe there's a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and I would imagine because of what you said about her parents being sort of protective, they would. Yeah.
And you know, another thing
love
is
to have her under your wing, even though you're a wild woman at heart. Nobody knows that. Right?
No, but you know, I was paid a good compliment at a fado night that WJFD put on. An old fado singer that doesn't sing anymore. She only sings once in a while, very seldom sings. But she used to be a good fado singer, and she lives in Cambridge, and she came down, and she was telling her, you know, congratulations, you have a pretty voice, and I like the way, and she said you should get lessons from her. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was like, for once, I was flabbergasted. I said, wow. So
you know what we were, before we were interrupted, I was asking you, what would you teach her? So besides not to copy things.
Not to copy. There's a lot of styles of music that it's appropriate for her voice. See, some of the songs that I do, it wouldn't be good for her voice because her voice has a sweetness to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm loud. I have a strong voice, so some of the songs that I can't do, but be wonderful in her voice. Mm-hmm. Like Fado Menor would be wonderful in her voice. She could do it. I do it, but not with that sweet that song requires, because there's a way of going very, very, very low and play with your voice low, and I know she can do it. Mm-hmm. I do it, but not the way it's supposed to be done. Now, and I try my best at it because it's such a precious melody, but I know it would be wonderful in her voice.
What about the kind of the gestures and all the sort of the appearance of a fado singer? Does she know that part of it?
Yes, she knows part of it, but that's another thing that you have to tell them. Mm-hmm. And I have a part of me when I stop being serious, because fado is not just serious. Mm-hmm. As a funny part, as a happy part. I can go wild on that, the other side. Mm-hmm. I really have fun. Mm-hmm. With the other side. Mm-hmm. And I try to show people that fado is not just serious, not melancholic. There's a happier side to fado. There's even a frisky part of fado. Mm-hmm. There's a part of the wild side, and it comes out at that time. I have a song that I do, and I look for a man of a certain age, and I have fun with that song. Mm-hmm. I get in trouble with that song. I had a gentleman once, I pick him out of the crowd, and I said, well, I think I'm safe with him. I wasn't. He just grabbed me by the waist, and he gave me such a strong kiss on the lips. I said, oh, boy. My husband looked at me, and after when I sat down, my husband said, good enough. Good enough. Because I do get, that's the friskiness in fado, the rebellious part of fado. Because like I said before, fado is very bohemian. Mm-hmm. And you can, there's a way of singing fado. We have certain songs, we use our shoulders a lot. You know, that attitude. So that's when the wild part of me comes out. Mm-hmm. The melancholic, I try to be very serious, but the other side, I can have fun.
Where was Katerina born? Is she from?
She's American. Uh-huh. She's American born.
But of Portuguese?
Portuguese descent. Uh-huh. Portuguese from the islands.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Azores?
From the Azores.
And did she grow up speaking Portuguese?
Yes, she speaks beautiful Portuguese. Yeah. Beautiful
so
Portuguese.
That wouldn't be an obstacle for her in terms of learning the language.
She's, oh, no, yeah. She speaks beautiful Portuguese. Yeah. She's a wonderful kid.
Yeah.
Katerina, she was supposed to go to Portugal for a career.
Mm.
And she was very wise not to go.
Mm. Now, what was the, you mean for singing?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Because you know how producers are and directors, they want to mold you to a commercial side. Mm-hmm. And Katerina is not that type of kid. She's a all-around good kid.
How did she get started singing? Do you know anything about
Oh, yes. WJFD puts on a contest every year, and their year, I was one of the jury members of the jury, and they gave me a CD with a bunch of people singing. And when I heard Katarina, I said, if this kid doesn't win, something wrong with the other rest of the jury members. And she won that year. And that's how
she
started.
But she already was singing, obviously.
She used to sing in church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she used to sing in church.
Do you know what church she
was? St. John's? Over
St.
here?
John's. Oh, yeah.
On Connie Street.
St. John's
the Baptist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think she still plays there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's a wonderful, wonderful kid.
Okay.
She is.
Well, that's great to know.
And there's a man that is, he just made a recording. I can't remember his name. But I would like to put my input on him, too.
Mm-hmm. And he's somebody local here?
Yeah, Jeremias Macedo, that's his name. And he's doing pretty good, but we all have a lot to learn. I learn every day. Like I said before, I'm singing a song, and if my voice is not in best shape that day, and I discovered a new way of a new cut to go, I said, gosh, how come I didn't think of that before? Oh, it's pretty. Mm-hmm. So we're learning every single day. You know, it's not, Father, it's not a music that it's got to be 1, 2, 3, and that's it. No, we can go 1, 2, 3, 4, and go 1, 2. It's like I said, we don't sing the same way twice, depending.
Interesting, you know, you talk about Katarina knows how to read music. Sometimes you can be almost sort of limited by that or trapped by it. You need to, you're singing something that's more improvised and more
you
fluid.
Have, Father, that's the beauty of Father.
Right.
Because how many days I'm asked to sing a particular song, and that time I don't feel like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to improvise. Because the reason, one of the reasons that they ask me to do it, it's because it means something to them. And it means something to me, but not that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Not at that time of the day, or not that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just because they like it, I have to make it through my voice, I have to make it their song, and I have to sing it in a way that they can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be there just singing and making a sacrifice, because it's not the way Father is. You got to put your feelings into it. You got to show the feelings. If not by your hands, by your face, by your gestures, by the way you move your body, but the sound on your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fake Father. You can't. You know, sometimes you sing a song, oh, 1, 2, 3, it's done. Father, it's not that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fake it. Or you sing it or you're not. It's not that type of music that you can just, do it. How many times I go to Savage and it's so noisy. And I'll say to my players, rehearse time. And that's when I discover new things. Because I'm not, in my conscience, it's not, it's like, I have to work, I'm here to work. I'm here to sing, I'm here to do the best I can, even though I'm not paying attention, but I have to do the best, because in the middle of all those people, there's always one that is listening. So when I'm like that, I come up with things and I say, wow. And sometimes if it's not me, it's the players. And after the song is done, I said, you know, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that. Next time we got to do it, try it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's father.
So let's turn to these,
okay,
your ensemble and the players. How long have you been playing with these two gentlemen from Rhode Island?
From Rhode Island?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I forgot. Going in between 15 and 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And tell me their names. And
okay, the guitar player, his name is José Silva. And the viola is Viriato Ferreira.
And how did you meet each other? How do you know each other?
Well, we started, Viriato used to play with another gentleman in a restaurant in East Providence. And Silva came from the islands, and somehow the other two, they broke off, so they started playing together, and I'm very, very happy they decided to play together, because mm-hmm. they were made for one another. Mm-hmm. They fill up, what one leaves out, the other one fills it up. They're very compatible. Mm-hmm. Even short, being short and everything, they're compatible. And to me, I like to play with everybody, because being in this type of music, you know, I need them more than they need me, the mm-hmm. players. But Viriato, when I play with him, I'm complete, mm-hmm. because he's there for me all the time. All the time. If I have a little setback, I know he covers. He's there all the time. Mm-hmm. And we come up one day, the funniest thing, Father Music, Lisboa à noite, Lisbon at night. It's a happy song. And I was singing, and all of a sudden I heard that viola giving me a samba beat. And I let go, and I got with it. Even me, I went with a rhythm, mm-hmm. even though it was fado, but I gave him that samba rhythm. And when we finished, because usually I finish my shows with that music, and when we finished, I said, we got to continue to do it that way. Because it's so fitting. It's, I don't know, the first part we can do it the natural way, but the second part we give him that samba beat and it comes out so beautiful, mm-hmm. and I can only count on him to do that, mm-hmm. because he knows that I like it and I know that he's capable of doing it, so I win it that way all the time.
So it sounds very mutual, but do you sort of lead? I mean, do you?
I have to lead.
Repertoire?
No, I do.
Yeah.
I tell them, but listen, there's nights that I turn around and I say, where do you guys want to play now? Because mm-hmm. I know they know what I like. Mm-hmm. And they guess, they're so used to me. And not to give them like that song again, I'll let them pick a song that they want to play. Mm-hmm. And I'm more than willing to do it, because I know that they know that I like mm-hmm. that I like that particular song, and I'm so comfortable with them that I give them the freedom to pick a song for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that quite often. Yeah, and it's funny because I put it, Mr. Silva is like a beautiful vase.
You told me,
yeah.
Actually. You did tell me this.
Yeah.
I love
In the
that.
Beginning, he looked at me kind of. But now he understands.
Yeah.
He understands that. Yeah, because we stop being three and become one mm-hmm. in a song. And it's very, very important. Because they know... sometimes I do a song and they say to me at the end, they say, he never did it that way. Gosh, I didn't expect it, but I was following you, see where you were going. I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. I trust them to the point that I can create things inside of a father that it's never been, I never did it before. Mm-hmm. And they mm-hmm. just follow. Mm-hmm. So it's the moment. It's that time. You may not do it again, but that moment came out that way.
Do you perform much in the Providence area where they live?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
How do you get the gigs?
People call me up.
And how do they know about you?
How did you know about me? See? Sometimes I ask them.
Yeah.
They called the other day. I found out that me singing at that wedding, it was through the Chamber of Commerce. Mm. Yeah. Never know.
Yeah.
Never know. Yeah. And I sang last year at a wine tasting in Cambridge at the boat club. And I walked in there and I said, this is going to be fun today. Was I surprised? It was beautiful. Mm. It was beautiful. And they just happened to have a booklet about Portugal. And I opened the book, and one of the pictures had a little bit about Fado. And had a picture of a very famous Fado painting. And I sing a song about it.
Fado, a painting of a Fado singer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Maria Severa was the most famous Fado singer next to Amália. Well, before Amália. And we have songs about her. And there's a beautiful painting by Melhoa. He was a famous artist. And he did a portrait, so to speak, of Severa with a man playing guitar for her. And on that picture, you see Fado. Mm. And you can see how bohemian Fado is on that picture. And just happened. I did that song there. And I was, when I, a wine tasting, I'll go. But oh my, was I for a surprise. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Do you rehearse regularly with these guys?
Nope.
Nope, you don't need to?
Nope.
Did you at one time?
Yeah, in the beginning when I was starting, because I was a chicken, I was afraid, and no. Because, see, Fado is traditional. It's the same. It's the music. The music, it's the same. I mean, we have over 200 or even more. I never counted Fado music. Mm-hmm. So I go to one set of players. I'll ask for this particular song in the key of such and such, in such and such key, and they'll start playing. Mm-hmm. And they follow me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in the beginning, I'll tell them, listen, I like it slow, or I like it a little bit faster. They follow me.
Mm-hmm. And that you play with them, how often would you say?
Almost every month.
Uh-huh. And that's in addition to the Fall River?
Yes. Yeah.
And I guess we should talk a little bit about those musicians, too.
Is you at Spanish? Oh, Manuel. Manuel is from Taunton, lives in Taunton, I should say.
What's his last name?
Álvaro Medeiros. He lives up north in New Bedford. Oh, with Álvaro and Manel, I've been singing with them for
each other. How did they meet each other?
One day I went to Sagres and it was this lady there singing. My husband said, my wife can sing better than her. And that was it. Not nice, but that's how it happened.
And Manuel plays the
guitar.
Guitar, right. And
Álvaro plays the viola.
And are they both Portuguese born?
Yeah, from the islands.
From the islands. When you say the islands, Azores?
Yeah. Azores.
Yeah.
All my players are from the Azores.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Is there much Fado in the Azores now?
Some.
Uh-huh.
But the folklore requires the two instruments, so they're folklore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the folklore of the Azores, it's more subdued than from the mainland.
Mm.
Maybe because we say it that It's because of the waves. They're in the middle of the ocean, so it's more subdued. Yeah, and they usually play the viola, even though it's a little bit different, and they play the guitar.
But it's a repertoire that they probably didn't grow up with so much.
And you know, it's funny because I can tell the difference between a fado singer from the islands. Mm. They have a little, I can tell they're from the islands by the way they sing. Uh-huh. I can tell.
Can you describe it in words?
No, it's the way they sound. The sound, I can tell right away. Uh-huh. They're from the islands. And I can tell if they're not born in Portugal. They're fado singers, but they're not fado singers. Mm. Their saudade is not there. Mm. Hmm. Yeah. There's a great lady. She's a great, great lady that sings fado. And she's American born. She's a wonderful singer, wonderful person. I love her to pieces. But she doesn't have their saudade. Mm-hmm. That somehow comes out in your songs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to be born over there.
Mm.
Yeah.
But this Katarina, you think, has the potential?
Yes.
Even though she was born here?
Yes.
A little more life experience.
Yeah. Just, she's got to grow up a little bit and suffer a little bit. I'm sorry, but suffer a little bit.
Yeah. And what about the man you had mentioned?
The man, Jeremias, he's a married man, and he's beginning, but he's scared.
Mm. Is he American-born or
no,
Portuguese?
No, from the islands also. Uh-huh. Jeremias is afraid. Mm-hmm. He needs to loosen up a little bit and enjoy it more. Uh-huh. Let it go.
And how old a person
Jeremias, is he? Jeremias in his 30s. Uh-huh. Ooh! 30s, close to 40s, I think, should be, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. But he needs to loosen up and don't be so scared. Because mm-hmm. he has a good voice. Jeremias has a good voice for fado. But he just needs to let go of whatever he's afraid of.
Do you think either of these people would be interested in doing an apprenticeship?
Oh, I would love to work.
I know you
would.
I
would love to work with Katarina.
Yeah. Do you think she would?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Uh-huh. It's been hard to get, you know, time to.
On your side or on her side?
Both.
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 Yeah.
Just uh-huh. because she's going to college.
Does she go to school locally?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know. We only get together when there's Father Nights and I know through my players, because the players from Rhode Island play for her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do.
And I'll ask them, how's Katarina doing? And they say, you know, she would love to work with you, and the chance to work with you, but it's hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. When I get together with Katarina, it's, how are you doing? And how's school? And this and that, and how's life itself? And that's it. But she's a good kid. She's a good kid. She's a very, very good kid, and she has a beautiful voice, Katarina.
So let me just ask you, are you pretty much satisfied with where you are? Do you want to be performing more? Do you want to be performing places that you don't?
You know, what I would like to bring Fado out more for the Americans. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
What kinds of things would you need in order to do that?
Well, maybe people don't know about me. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing.
And what kind of help do you think, for example, the Mass Council would
yes,
be able to
that's
provide
a good help.
You don't have a brochure. You have a CD.
I have a CD. I don't have anything. I have, my husband put something together because, you know, this being an artist, we kind of let loose, let go.
Do you actively promote yourself, though?
No.
You don't, people call you.
Yeah, people call me. I don't call out.
Yeah.
I don't sell myself.
Right.
It would be nice if I could do more Well, I'm going to have that opportunity in October and in August this year, mm-hmm. in Maine. Mm-hmm. But I would like to perform more for the American people, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. show them what Fado is about, because I know there's a lot of, they don't know, they heard about it, but they don't know what the Fado, what Fado is.
Mm-hmm. And I was sort of, not exactly joking, but what about the idea of some kind of a live recording? That could be...
It, to be honest, it costs a little bit of money.
Yeah.
I know how much I paid for that CD, mm-hmm. and it was made in Portugal, mm-hmm. With two very good players that just happened. One of them, where I'm very, very good friends with. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Studio or live, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. And... maybe I would like to do another CD, mm-hmm. another recording, mm-hmm. With this time, not that I made the first one commercial, but I put a song about my hometown thinking that people in my hometown would like it. It's a happy, mm-hmm. a happy song, talks about all the little villages, about my city, mm-hmm. and I made it with that in mind. And I made a duet with my husband. But this time, I would like to do things that I like, more into the serious things.
Mm-hmm. And that was more almost 10 years ago,
yeah,
that CD. So.
More traditional. Uh-huh. Because I put, there's at least... four or five songs, they're more modern, mm-hmm. like. Mm. I would
more
like,
popular.
More contemporary. Uh-huh. I would like to do it more into the traditional, mm-hmm. the traditional music, because mm-hmm. I think I only did traditional on that CD. There's one or two uh-huh. traditional musics, mm-hmm. yeah.
Actually, you know what, before we leave, it would be great for you to tell me which of the tracks are yeah. the most traditional, just because uh-huh. those would be the most important for
yeah.
the
one
program
or,
in
one or two.
Okay.
I can't think of it right now, but because I sing Gaivota, I love Gaivota, and it's become a classic. Mm-hmm. It was written by an Englishman, mm. and for Amalia. Mm. That's a classical. And Melhoa, mm-hmm. The one about the painting.